Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Look at this thing. It is a monster. Do we have a clear understanding of why the woolly mammoth went completely extinct?
You know, we really don't.
Oh, look at this!
This is a huge bone.
Excellent.
Nice preservation.
The whole wall is literally just disintegrating.
Josh, look out!
It's collapsing! Holy! The woolly mammoth was the king of the Ice Age and the largest mammal ever to walk the Earth. For millions of years, they dominated the planet, from Asia to Europe to North America. But then about 10,000 years ago, something went wrong, and mammoths rapidly went extinct. Now, scientists across the globe are investigating to determine why the mammoth vanished and what their fate might mean for our own future.
In Canada, gold miners are finding mammoth bones trapped in ancient ice. And scientists are using these remains to decipher Earth's ancient environment. And half a world away, Korean geneticists have a radical idea to study the mammoth firsthand by bringing it back to life. In a real-world version of Jurassic Park, they plan to clone the mammoth and return the species from the grave. But to pull it off, they'll need DNA trapped deep in the ice at the northern reaches of the planet. I'm embarking on a quest to find the smallest fragments of life to restore the largest of beasts. The fate of the woolly mammoth isn't just ancient history. It's a puzzle that may have huge implications for humanity. So bundle up, because we're headed north to unlock the mysteries of the mammoth.
My name is Josh Gates. Look at that! With a degree in archaeology and a passion for exploration, I have a tendency to end up in some very strange situations.
This is horrible. This is officially horrible.
My travels have taken me to the ends of the earth.
Come on, back up!
As I investigate the greatest legends in history.
We're good to fly, let's go.
This is Expedition Unknown. My expedition begins on the other side of North America, in the small Canadian city of Whitehorse. Welcome to the Yukon. It's one of the most naturally stunning places in the world, but it's also one of the most sparsely populated, so very few people are around to appreciate it. Tens of thousands of years ago, this area was teeming with woolly mammoth. To learn what happened to them, I'm headed to the Yukon-Beringia Interpretive Center, a scientific shrine to the Ice Age. Dr. Grant Zazula is the chief paleontologist and is going to give me a crash course in Mammoth 101.
So here we are. This is our main exhibit gallery, and this is our woolly mammoth.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's probably a large adult male. You can tell it's a male because it's got these giant curved tusks like that.
I mean, look at this thing. It is a monster.
Yeah, they're, you know, about 11 feet tall at the shoulder, 6 tons in weight. It's a large animal.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Meet the master of all mammals. First appearing 2.5 million years ago, these beasts weighed up to 6 tons, with large dome-shaped heads and lethal 12-foot-long tusks.
So I see a lot of other dangerous-looking skeletons mounted here. So who are the mammoth's cohorts?
There's Ice Age horses, there's ground sloths, and camels, and saber-toothed cats. These guys. Huge cats with these giant fangs that could just rip into a woolly mammoth if it wanted to.
To say nothing of the most dangerous animal of all.
People, yeah, right? Of course. You know, these are woolly mammoths lived alongside people for hundreds of thousands of years in Europe and Asia. So we know that people were hunting them because we find bones of woolly mammoths at archaeological sites. We also see the paintings of woolly mammoths in the caves in Europe dating to the Ice Age. So we know that people had a relationship with woolly mammoths.
In fact, mammoths were so resilient, the very last ones died out only 4,000 years ago. That means while the pyramids were being constructed in Egypt, people in the Arctic were still running into these prehistoric behemoths.
Do we have a clear understanding of why something as hardy and huge as the woolly mammoth went completely extinct?
You know, we really don't. It could have been climate change that caused a lot of stress on these populations, and then people were obviously hunting these animals too. Or maybe it was disease.
But you don't know yet.
We still don't have a clear understanding of what actually drove these animal populations into extinction.
The Beringia Center's impressive collection of mammoth bones comes mostly from one surprising source, a gold mine north of Whitehorse that turns up priceless remains along with their precious metals. Grant invites me on his next expedition. In a Yukon Minute, we're off to Dawson City, home of the Great Klondike Gold Rush of 1896. This is no milk run. It's 350 miles through some of the least populated land on Earth. 5 hours later, the endless forests give way to signs of civilization. Dawson City was the Yukon's first capital, and shortly after the 1896 gold strike, it exploded into a frontier city of 40,000 people. Today, it's down to 1,300, but gold mining is still an active industry. Smack in the middle of Dawson City is the historic downtown hotel. While Grant parks, I walk into what feels like Westworld and the sounds of an old-timey piano. Nearby is an old-timey person who keeps a watchful eye over the saloon.
How are you? I'm Josh.
I'm Captain Terry Lee.
Captain Terry, how are you?
I'm fine.
What am I getting myself into here?
You're about to enter into the Sarratol Cocktail Club.
What is a Sarratol cocktail?
Sarratol cocktail is a human amputated toe that is completely necrotic.
It's an actual human toe?
Human toe.
Where did this toe come from?
Somebody's foot.
Well, you ask a stupid question. That's a human toe. That's officially a human toe. Okay.
The sour toe cocktail is a tradition that's been going on here for more than 40 years. Local residents donate their little piggies, and idiots like me belly up to the bar for the ultimate in bespoke cocktails.
All right, well, when in Rome.
You can drink it fast. You can drink it slow. But your lips must touch this gnarly toe. Just your lips, Josh. It's up to you.
It's your health.
Sláinte. So, woo! There it is.
Oh, my God.
Captain, welcome to the club, sir.
This has been one of the weirdest experiences of my life, but an honor.
Thank you.
Before I end up with athlete's tongue, I'm back on the Mammoth Trail. A few miles outside of town, we drive into gold country, and we begin to see evidence of a massive mining operation. Grant and his team have been contacted by the owners, who have reportedly discovered ancient animal bones during their excavations.
This is it. Frozen mud. It smells like mammoths to me.
Let's check it out.
Let's go.
We grab some tools and bags for specimen collection and meet up with Grant's colleague, paleontologist Dick Mole, who's already gotten the party started here.
Hey, look at you already at work.
There are bones all around the place, look.
Yeah.
Tibia of a horse.
Beautiful.
Nice mandible of a step bison.
Yeah.
But this is a mandible, a lower jaw of a wild horse.
And all the teeth in.
Yeah, it's so many bones around, and it's all over the place.
These bones are up to 10,000 years old. So how did they end up laying on the ground? The answer has to do with the terrifying cliff that's slowly collapsing behind us.
You can start to feel the cold of the permafrost.
You really can. Yeah, it's actually the temperature's dropping as you get close to the wall. So underneath all this stinky mud is just solid ice.
Solid ice. It's frozen.
And look at that, too. Right there, you can see it more clearly. That's ice.
This is all ice that's 25 or 30,000 years old from the Ice Age.
We begin to walk up to the main mine, and everywhere we look, we find Ice Age remains from animals that lived alongside the mammoth. It's hard not to notice that the hillside is drenched by a rushing stream, and as we trudge through it, we make another discovery. Canadian gold miner, Guy Fevron.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Josh.
Guy,
nice to meet you.
Guy's the owner of this mine. He's been working here for generations out in the Klondike, and finding gold and helping us find bones as well.
Anytime we're in the frozen black mud, it's a recipe for bones.
Where is all this water coming from? We don protective gear, and Guy leads us to the source of the stream, which isn't exactly a natural spring.
This is incredible.
This is called placer mining. High-pressure water cannons called monitors are used to blast the permafrost in search of gold. In the process, they free prehistoric remains from their icy tombs.
And do you just let it go, or do you aim this thing? What do you do with it?
We can steer it around. If we got an operator for it, they'll sit there and they'll cut the gravel, which is actually just sinking the gravel down.
So this thing can do some serious damage?
It can, yeah.
Can I run it?
Yeah, you betcha.
You're making a huge mistake here. I love this.
Right about now, you might notice the dumb grin that I can't wipe off my face. This baby is the ultimate super soaker, powerful enough to bore straight into the permafrost, not to mention launch a person clear across the valley.
Hey Josh, we're gonna go over here and have a look for some bones, so make sure you keep this thing over here so you don't mow us down, okay?
I make no promises, Grant.
Okay.
I'll work on this side.
While I break apart the rock and ice ahead of us, Grant and Dick investigate to see if my blasting turns anything up.
You got something?
I'm on a hunt for the largest mammal that ever walked the Earth, the woolly mammoth. Here in the Canadian Yukon, scientists are working with gold miners to solve the mystery of why it vanished by hunting for ancient remains using ice-shattering water cannons. And it looks like we just hit something.
Hey, Josh!
Hey,
stop that! We got something over here! Got something big!
Holy!
Yeah, we got something big.
Oh my God!
Ready? Take that in.
Oh wow!
That's a beast. Eh?
Look at this. This is mammoth, yeah?
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Look how wonderful preserved.
What bone is this?
That's the ulna.
Yeah, it's the lower arm.
There must be more of that because that's so well preserved. You can't imagine it just kind of popping out of the ground.
Let me clean it in the water.
Yeah.
So let's keep on looking around as Dick's cleaning that off. Let's see if we find anything more.
The thing that's tricky though is like that bone could have been here. It could have been up there.
Yeah,
a cannon moves so much stuff that it's like who knows where it came from.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, another one.
Holy. This is a huge bone.
The mammoth bone is still deeply embedded in the frozen mud, and it takes two of us with all our strength to pull it out.
Okay, what bone is this?
Well, I think it's the humerus of a woolly mammoth, right?
There's nothing funny about
this. Yeah, it's a humorous joke, huh?
I mean, it's a required joke.
It's an upper arm bone, yes.
Upper arm bone. Maybe these are from the same animal.
Maybe they will fit to each other.
To determine if our two finds came from the same mammoth, there's some assembly required.
Here we go, coming in. Look at that, it locks right in.
Oh yeah, this one individual, for sure.
This is from the same animal.
Yeah, it has to be. Look, they're so well preserved, they're found 20 feet from one another at the same site.
Congratulations.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
You are a mammoth hunter.
Thank you. There's obviously a lot of controversy about what happened to these animals. What do you think did them in?
Well, there are different hypothesis. We have the over-ill, that viruses came in and the mammoths passed away. We have the hypothesis of the overkill, that humans were overhunting these animals, but I think it's the overchill. It's the dramatic change of climate at the end of the Pleistocene.
Remains like this are showing that at the end of the Ice Age, temperatures dropped, freezing grasslands and water supplies for the mammoth. Then, temperatures swung the other way and rapidly warmed.
When you have higher temperatures, a greater ocean surface means more evaporation.
Right.
And then finally, this mammoth steppe disappeared.
Once you have habitat loss and you have human invasion into natural landscapes, animals will die.
I'm elated at our discovery, but there is a sad irony here. The mammoth, which Grant and Dick believe may have been a victim of climate change, is being unearthed by our own deliberate erosion of the landscape. And we would be wise to remember that once a species dies out, it's gone forever. Or is it? It turns out that another brazen group of scientists believe it may be possible to rewind the hands of time. So I'm jetting across the Pacific to a place that hopes to resurrect the woolly mammoth. Seoul, South Korea.
Welcome to Seoul. This is a place of awesome contradictions. It's a city of temples and spaceships. For hundreds of years, Seoul has also been a seat of power, a place of politics and art, of cuisine and cultures. Today, it's all of those things and more. It's the past, the present, and the future, all rolled into one.
Here, the future isn't just happening now. It happened yesterday, and they're already on to something new. Seoul's high-tech computing scene is revolutionizing everything from buying a new car to picking out the perfect shade of makeup. Even the food looks like something out of science fiction, including ice cream cones that require special training to handle.
Strawberry green tea.
Thank you.
Thank you. That should be enough.
Keep it straight.
Keep it straight. Yeah, that's the small?
I would have bought a large, but my crew wasn't big enough.
You want some?
Oh.
Son of a...
But forget the ice cream. The most futuristic advancements here in Seoul are happening in a nondescript compound at the edge of the city. This is Soam Biotech Laboratory, where I'm meeting cell biologist Jay Wong.
Jay.
Josh.
Hey, nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure.
Soam has made headlines as one of the world leaders in animal cloning, with aspirations to revive the woolly mammoth.
Is this science fiction? Is this something that's possible?
Well, I don't think it's fiction anymore, considering we've cloned hundreds of animals here thus far. And we're trying to apply that knowledge in bringing back the woolly mammoth.
I'd love to see what you guys are up to.
Yes, please, follow me. I'm going to show you around the lab.
Getting a peek into SOAM's facilities is rare, and I'm not exactly sure what to expect.
So, welcome to our dog quarantine room.
Wow, look at this place.
These are where puppies that are waiting quarantine are kept.
So these are all clone dogs?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay, so it is about 1,000 times more adorable in here than I ever expected. To date, Soam has cloned over 600 dogs. But second lives aren't cheap. The cost of a rerun of your favorite pet? A mere $100,000.
Are they all just for pets, for personal ownership?
Some have a different purpose behind their birth, in which we clone dogs that had a very good career in helping people.
Soam has cloned some of the world's best seeing eye and search and rescue dogs, including Tracker, who pulled the last survivor out of the wreckage of the Twin Towers on 9/11.
When I think of cloning, I never really thought about that. You know, taking dogs that have a real skill set and trying to foster that and to pass it on. That's really cool.
Jay tells me they've also cloned cows, pigs, deer, and even wolves. You wonder where this stops.
And where do you keep the velociraptors? On a separate floor?
That's
upstairs.
It's highly confidential.
Highly classified. I understand. I understand. You don't have to talk about it now.
Soam even combines material from different animals to study gene expression, like the glow-in-the-dark nails on this pooch, courtesy of jellyfish DNA.
Now I'm going to take you into our clean facility. I'm afraid we're going to have to change suits.
Wow.
We're trying to keep this place as clean as possible.
To see the inner sanctum of the lab, Jay and I suit up for a sterile environment.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay.
We pass through an airlock that blows any remaining foreign particles off our bodies and head into the heart of the operation. And it just so happens I picked a special day to visit the lab. Jay leads me into a delivery room
where a team of geneticists and vets are about to attempt the delivery of a cloned puppy. Leading up the operation is Dr. Hwang Woo Suk, the mastermind of SOAM and the world's leading animal cloning expert.
In terms of the Mammoth Project, is it the same basic process that we're seeing here?
Yes, in theory, we will be applying the same principles into cloning the mammoth as well.
This is bigger than just a puppy. As he begins the surgery, it feels like I'm watching the future itself being born.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm in South Korea at SOAM Biotech, one of the world leaders in the controversial technology of cloning.
Wow.
After a sterilization process that would impress Howard Hughes, cell biologist Jay Wong grants me exclusive access to witness the birth of a cloned dog.
Oh my God. Wow.
Honestly, this is nothing like I expected. Cloning is a cold word, but once the egg is inserted, the entire pregnancy is totally natural. And the results? Real, precious life. But what about SOAM's most ambitious project, cloning the currently extinct woolly mammoth?
Some people might ask the question, why? Why clone a mammoth? You know, this is an animal that went extinct. Why try to revive it?
If the mammoth can walk the earth one more time, then we'd be able to learn so much about the mammoth and its ecology than being in the fossil form.
Sure.
It sounds like a long shot. But anything seems possible when you hold a newborn clone in your hands.
Cloning. Look at that.
So this room is purposely kept dark. And you can see all these microscopes around here, and these are the micromanipulators.
These manipulators are how DNA is extracted from the cell of a creature to be cloned, and then injected into a waiting egg. In the case of the mammoth, it would be slipped into the egg of a modern elephant. Those live mammoth cells are the key to making this whole thing work. And to find them, they're using remains found trapped in the ice. Jay takes me to our final stop, the company's mammoth cloning project.
What you're seeing in front of you is a mammoth tissue.
This is mammoth tissue?
It is.
Wow, that's astounding.
This is Miss Park.
Hello, Miss Park.
You can call me Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
She's Sensei Kelly for the day. And today she's going to teach you how to culture mammoth cells.
Kelly and I get to work preparing the tissue samples for DNA extraction. First, the tissue is given a bath to remove any large impurities. Then we cut the tissue into finely ground mammoth burger.
It's a pretty wild feeling to be cutting away here at meat that's 10 or 20,000 years old. It's really incredible.
The meat is then saturated in enzymes that break down the cells to free the DNA inside.
To the incubator.
To aid the process, samples are gently heated.
Yay. Nice work.
But here's the rub. no complete strand of mammoth DNA has ever been salvaged. That's because, unlike the live cells used to clone the puppy, every mammoth cell discovered turns out to be damaged or degraded.
In the case of mammoth, we're going to have to work with frozen tissue.
Right.
And it's very hard to clone using frozen tissues.
A single live cell with a complete DNA strand is the key to unlocking the mammoth's genetic code and bringing it back to life.
So with a mammoth, you're really looking for that complete DNA.
That's one of the reasons why we embark on expeditions, so we can find that one cell that can be served as the raw material for the mammoth cloning.
SOAM currently has scientists on the ground scouring for viable mammoth DNA, and they've arranged for me to join their latest mission.
And those expeditions are primarily headed where?
Siberia.
I'm nodding on the outside, but inside I'm remembering that I didn't pack any long underwear. I leave the lab and board a flight that carries me 1,700 miles north to the very edge of human existence. Siberia. In a place this vast, even the rental cars are bigger.
Welcome to Siberia. 5 million square miles of tundra, permafrost, swamps, and forests. Collectively, it takes up almost all of northern Asia and represents about 10% of all the land on planet Earth. In other words, it's enormous.
My Soviet-era monster truck could probably drive through anything. But I do hit the brakes for some local traffic.
Come on. Come on. God, I feel like they don't respect that I could run them over with this thing.
First stop on our Siberian quest is the largest town in these parts, Yakutsk, home to the SUAM Laboratory's sister facility. Yakutsk is famously known as the coldest city on Earth. In the winter, temperatures can drop to 40 degrees below zero. Fortunately, it's summer, so I can walk outside without dropping dead. My first stop is the Yakutsk Outdoor Market, where I rendezvous with two scientists looking to find viable mammoth DNA, paleontologists Alexei Tikhonov and Simeon Grigoriev.
Alexei.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Josh.
Oh,
hi.
Hello, my name is Simeon.
Hi, Simeon. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Happy to see you, too.
You are welcome to Siberia.
Thank you very much. So what's the plan?
The plan to organize an expedition to Batagai.
What's Batagai?
Batagai is a settlement. It's around 400 miles from here to the north.
Wow. Near the Arctic Circle.
Inside already Arctic Circle, yes.
Wow.
We have visited this place looking for the remains of Pleistocene animals and first of all of woolly mammoths, because the preservation of the material can be excellent.
So a good chance of finding something.
Yes, it's a good chance.
All right, so where do we start?
We start from here, from market.
Okay.
We can buy good things from here.
Batagai is off more than the beaten path. It's off the grid. We'll have to bring everything we need to survive, which means we have to shop while the shopping is good. Proper headgear is, of course, a must.
I'm trying to blend in.
As well as the latest in Russian stealth technology.
Can you even see me right now, Brian?
Hey, has anybody seen Josh?
I heard him just a second ago.
He was literally just right here.
Guys, I'm right here. Tell you one thing, this stuff works.
Some of the items on Alexei's wish list are a bit worrying.
Is this necessary? Do I really need this?
Yes, you really need this.
Where are we going?
Now that Team Pleistocene is fully outfitted for the journey ahead, we're ready for our flight into northern Siberia. The heart of mammoth country.
Okay, what's our bag count?
33.
For being one of the most northerly cities in the world, the Yakutsk airport is surprisingly modern. I wish I could say the same about our airplane.
Oh boy.
I'm on my way to the town of Batagai in northern Siberia with a team of paleontologists hoping to clone the long-extinct woolly mammoth. To get the DNA they need, though, we have to pack into an airplane only slightly younger than the mammoth we're hunting.
Oh boy.
Welcome aboard the Antonov AN-26. On this bucket of bolts, navigation is done entirely by hand. Weird pieces of machinery are bolted to the cabin ceiling. The lavatory is, just forget it, and the luggage compartment, it's conveniently located right behind us.
After a few dozen Hail Marys and some other stuff I learned in Hebrew and Arabic for good measure, the engines roar to life and we take off.
We're up.
In case you're wondering, there is meal service on the flight.
Спасибо. I mean, at least she's not handing out parachutes. As we fly north, it's impossible not to be struck by what we're flying over. It's just pure wilderness. Forests and swamps and lakes and no roads, no cities, no people. But underneath all of this down here are millions of tons of permafrost. And somewhere in all of that ancient ice, there are remains of mammoths and just maybe one intact strand of DNA that could bring them back to life.
We fly a harrowing 400 miles closer to the North Pole and begin our descent into one of the more remote towns on Earth.
Batagai, here we come.
Once we touch down, we quickly offload our gear in a waiting convoy and drive off in search of mammoth DNA.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so Alexei, where are we headed?
We are going to a very interesting place. We call this place Batagai Crater. It's a very important crater for permafrost study.
Great.
We drive across an eerie landscape that feels unlike anywhere I've ever seen. It's a long, bumpy slog down a mud track, and eventually, the ground becomes too soft to continue driving.
Okay, here we are.
We're here.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, let's do it.
We'll walk from here, so we unload our gear and prepare for a long hike through melting permafrost. Since nothing destroys DNA faster than heat, the most important thing in our kit is a cooler lined with dry ice to preserve any frozen specimens we might discover.
So what do we have living up here, Alexei?
Some local people, they have some stories about Chuchuna.
Chuchuna?
Yeah.
Chuchuna is what? It's like Bigfoot?
Yeah, the females were very dangerous for big guys like you.
They're looking for mates, yeah?
Yes, they're looking to breed with somebody.
All right, I'll take that under advisement. Bunch of horny Bigfoots up here.
With our eyes peeled for the one Bigfoot you really don't want to find, our group finally approaches the northern rim of the Batagai Crater. And it is truly the edge of the world.
Welcome to Batagai Crater.
Whoa.
I'm in northern Siberia with a team of paleontologists looking for preserved remains of the woolly mammoth trapped in the permafrost. And they've just led me to a place that leaves me speechless.
Welcome to Batagai Crater.
Whoa. Look at that. That is insane.
The crater is unlike anything I have ever seen. A postcard from another planet. If you saw it in a James Cameron movie, you'd think it was a digital effect. But it's actually stunningly real. Nearly a mile long and up to 350 feet deep. And what's really incredible, it didn't form naturally.
How did this get here?
It's interesting. 45 years ago, it was just this surface.
It was like this?
Like this. But guys decided to excavate some rocks, some material to make a road.
Uh-huh.
And they removed trees, they removed moss covering, everything. And when the ice was exposed on the surface, the sun started to melt.
So it just started to eat away?
Start to eat, and after 45 years we have this.
And it isn't done growing. This mile-wide mega slump, as geologists call it, widens about 60 feet every year as its walls melt away, collapse, and reveal ancient bones.
So up here, this is present day. At the bottom of the wall, what year is it?
It's approximately 300,000 years ago.
It's like slicing through time.
It's slicing for 300,000 years.
Incredible. So now that I see it, I understand it. You've got hundreds of thousands of years of ice exposed here, and that ice is filled with samples. How do you find those samples? How do you get at those preserved remains?
We have to look.
Since the walls of the crater are unstable, we decide to send up our drone to scout ahead for possible remains.
Take a look.
We look for outcroppings of bone that emerge from the melting curtain of permafrost. It isn't as simple as it sounds.
So, Alexei, where is the best place to search for the bones?
Most interesting for us, the lower part of walls.
Between the ice and already melted sediments.
Uh-huh, because stuff's falling down there?
Fall down, and of course it's the most recent finds.
The drone sweeps up and down the crater as we stay riveted to the screen.
It's tough because there's so many trees down there that look like bones.
Yes, sometimes it's quite difficult.
This is all wood, yeah?
Yes, all wood which fall down from the slope.
What's that? Is that wood?
Eventually, our patience pays off.
No, this is a bone.
That's a bone?
Yeah,
there,
mammoth bone.
This is it, a mammoth bone. Tens of thousands of years old, and ours for the taking. If we can get it.
Okay, we got a bone. We got a bone. Okay, all right, good. Danny, let's mark that. Let's look around here, see if anything else fell out with it.
After tagging the coordinates of the bone on GPS, we keep the drone flying. It's covering more ground in a few minutes than we could in a full day.
God, there's so much debris down there. It's tough.
This is scapula of mammoth.
A shoulder plate.
Okay, bone number two. Look at that. Okay, we've got two pieces. We start with that, yeah?
Okay, we should go to this place and look
for
it.
For sure. Got it. Okay, nice work, everybody. Let's go find a mammoth.
The drone is down. Now it's our turn to explore. We gear up not for a hike, but for a climb.
Because the walls are literally solid ice, we have to use crampons so that we can stick to them. So what's the plan, Alexei?
You will go first.
And why am I going first again?
Because we need to check the equipment, and you are the heaviest guy among us.
Russians.
While I'm all for a good joke, it's hard to laugh right now. The rim of the crater grows wider every day, and Alexei is using me to make sure that it and our gear will hold up.
God, look at that. It's just pure ice. Super dangerous looking. The whole wall is literally just disintegrating. You can see it just melting away.
Everywhere I look, the muddy wall is carving off and plunging down to the crater floor. I just do my best to stay stuck to the ice.
It's okay now. Try to be to the right, to the right.
This is crazy.
It's too difficult to rappel quickly, but I don't want to be up here for too long. Since it fast becomes apparent that the ground beneath my crampons is something I definitely can't rely on.
Josh, look out!
It's collapsing! Holy!
A huge section of the rim falls inches to the left of my rope, a stark reminder that the whole cliff could go at any moment. But a potential trove of mammoth DNA lies directly below me, so I keep going into the abyss. Finally, I touch down on the ledge midway down the crater, where we spotted the first mammoth bone with our drone.
That was ill-advised. If anybody out there thinks that cutting down trees doesn't have an impact on the planet, that's what happened when they cut down the forest.
Okay, Josh! Cooler is going down now!
We lower the cooler from the top to receive our mammoth samples. To preserve the DNA, anything we find needs to be immediately put on ice.
Keep coming! Okay! A little more! Good!
Once our gear is down, we can begin our search.
It should be close. It's somewhere on this part.
Yeah.
Just standing up is a balancing act. One false step and we'll plunge another 100 feet into 300,000-year-old permafrost, becoming specimens ourselves.
Look on it. It's bone.
That's it, yeah?
It's great. What beautiful find.
It's a mammoth bone, all right, from an adult's leg.
Wow.
Oh, it's
excellent.
Nice preservation from this side.
Look at that. Male.
Male, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Adult
male.
One, adult.
It's freezing cold.
Yeah, because you see the surface pale.
Yeah. It's yellowish, but should be well preserved in such places where there is no damages.
We can cut
a little bit, yeah. Good bone for DNA analysis.
Okay, so let's get a sample out of it, yeah?
Unlike the bones I found in Canada, this is still ice cold and therefore more probable to carry viable DNA.
Please.
Me?
Take some. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Any live cell is likely going to be deep inside the bone in the marrow. Mammoth bone is dense enough, but after being frozen for 10,000 years, it's like cutting into concrete.
It's the smell of fresh bone.
It's the smell of fresh bone.
Yeah, sure.
I love the smell of fresh bone in the morning.
The saw isn't getting us in there fast enough, so we break out a slightly more direct tool. Will this bone buried in the ice for 200,000 years tell us how to resurrect the woolly mammoth?
Look at this!
Oh my God.
That's unbelievable.
There's more expedition to come.
We're more than 100 miles above the Arctic Circle and continuing farther north.
A dangerous mission takes me deep into Siberia.
What's going on?
I think we broke down.
It just basically jeopardizes the whole mission at this point.
And I find myself in a lawless wilderness.
Let's see if they let us go forward.
In an Ice Age graveyard ruled by the black market.
Oh my God!
This could be where my adventure ends.
This ceiling's gonna come down on us.
Or will we succeed in finding enough DNA to clone the woolly mammoth?
Look at this thing!
Yeah!
Intact!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.